Luke chapter 6, reading verses 27 through 35. This is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. He says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." This is one of the hardest things Jesus said, hardest things for us to deal with. Let's start by just praying and asking him to help us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what it is that you are saying to us today, how it is you want us to love, what it is that you're calling us to do, to live these unshakable lives, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We started 2 weeks ago talking about how to build an unshakable life. And just let me remind you what Jesus said. If you want to build an unshakable life where nothing can tear it down and destroy it, he said, what you need to do is you come to him, you listen to what he says, and you do what he says. That's the difference. Not just coming to him and hearing what he says, but putting into practice what he has said. And he said, if that's you, if you do that, that's the person who builds their life on a foundation. No matter what hits it, it's going to stand. And then last week, we talked about what Jesus said about one part of our unshakable lives we're building, having unshakable happiness. That we can have unshakable happiness, not just, you know, haha, things are good, but happiness in the sense of things being well with us, a joy, a sense of being blessed. We can have, those who follow Jesus can have this sense of unshakable happiness regardless of the circumstances of our lives. Now, that's not easy. That's really difficult, and we wrestled with that last week. This week, what we have to wrestle with, I think, is even more difficult. This idea of unshakable love. Because if we want an unshakable life, we have to build unshakable love. How unshakable is your love? Don't just think of the person you love the most in this world. Think of all different people. How unshakable is your love? If love is the bull rider and being mistreated is the bull, how many shakes does it take to knock you off and stop your love? For example, start with a silly example. I love Chipotle. I don't know how many of you do. It's a healthier option than pizza, as much as that pains me to say it. So I like it. We'll get Chipotle sometimes for lunch in the office. The other day we ordered it. Kelly went to pick it up. She got there. I don't know if you know how Chipotle works, but you can order through an app or on the phone. And when you get there, your food will be sitting in the bag waiting for you. You just take it from the shelf. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You just take it and you go. And I've always wondered about this system, that this is just rife for mistreatment and abuse. Anybody could take my food. And sure enough, the other day we ordered food. Kelly went to pick it up. She got there and it was gone. Someone stole my lunch. And whether that actually happened, that someone stole it, or they just forgot to make it and then lied and said, either way, someone messed with my lunch, and guess what that did to my love for Chipotle? It shook it. Our loves are very unshakable, or very shakable, right? And it's silly things like that, but then there are serious things that happen to you in life and to me in life. There's like a boss who badmouths you to upper management and keeps you from getting a promotion that you definitely deserve, simply because they just don't like you, or they have someone else in mind that they like and they're friends with. How many of you have been through that kind of a situation where someone mistreats you that way? Or they just, you can feel their dislike to you and so they undermine you. What does that do to your love? Or maybe you've got a coworker or another student in school where you're working on something together and you have an idea and you let them know, and then they take your idea and they share it like their own. They steal your idea. What does that do to your love, your sense of love for them? Or maybe some family member spreads rumors about you, talks about you to all the other family members in order to maybe get you left out of the will or get you uninvited to a wedding or a graduation party. What does that do to your love? Maybe a friend exposes personal things about you on social media, drags your laundry out there into the open for everyone to see. What does that do? How much does that shake your love? Or maybe someone just literally walks into your house and takes something of yours, steals it. Or they get your credit card information and they start using your credit card to buy different things. They've stolen, they're stealing from you. What does that do to your love? How does that make you feel? These moments, these types of things, and there's millions of examples we can come up with. You probably all have stories to tell of things that have happened to you and been done to you. They shake you up like you're a bottle of seltzer. And now it's like you got to be really careful, because if you're not, you're going to explode everywhere. Well, what are you supposed to do with those feelings? How are you and I supposed to feel love for someone who hates us, curses us, and mistreats us? And right there, we should just pause for a moment, because Jesus, not once in this entire message here, mentions emotions and feelings. Not once does he bring up feelings. He's talking about a love, then, that goes beyond feelings. Not because feelings don't matter, they absolutely do. Not because emotions don't matter, they absolutely do. But what Jesus is talking about is a love that goes beyond feelings and emotions, that actually can't even be shaken by our feelings and emotions. Not that we turn into robots or machines where someone does something to us and we say, must love, like we're only programmed, like that we're not going to feel anything. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a love that's more powerful than that. And that's very different than the love our world practices. Our world practices a sadistic dance and calls it love. It's this, you know, this sort of pleasure everybody gets from love, but the way it goes, it's like a dance. It starts in junior high, you start to notice it in kids, maybe even younger, where like, you know, they start, okay, I give a little bit of love to this kid or a little bit of love to that friend, and if they don't give it back, then I pull back and I don't give it to them anymore. Now I mistreat them. I remember doing this all the time in middle school. Like, and we typically do it with girls, like, you know, I'll give her some attention, and if she doesn't give it back, then I'll ignore her for 2 weeks until she's like, oh, well, no, Andrew's, like, trying to get my attention. I'm like, ah, now I've got control of the relationship, right? Like, that kind of nonsense that you do as kids, it doesn't go away. We still are the same way. In all of our relationships, we give a little bit, and then if we get it back, then we give a little more, but if we don't get it back, then we kind of, like, walk away, and it's this little dance we do. I've done a whole bunch of weddings, and I always get the couple's story and find out how they came together, not just from their perspective, but from their family's perspective, from their friend's perspective. It always amazes me how two people ever actually get together and marry, because all the stupid little things and twists and turns that happen in a relationship, this dance, it's like, oh, do you love me? And it's like, it always seems like there could be 5 or 6 moments that could destroy everything, and they somehow get past it, and then, okay, good. And not just before, but after marriage too. It's this sadistic little dance we do of giving, but we don't want to expose too much until we get some back. And that's not just true of romantic relationships. That's true of every relationship you have, every friendship, every family relationship. There's this sadistic dance that is the way our world does love, which is why love is so fragile in our world and easily broken. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about having an unshakable love for everyone. Jesus calls us to an unshakable love that knows no boundaries and that is neither inspired nor deterred by what the other person does. Think about that. Think about that. It's not rooted at all in the other person. This is such a weird and unique kind of love that it's hard to wrap our minds around. But then Jesus helps us. He shows us what this love looks like when it's being mistreated, when, you know, pushed to the extreme, right? The things that would break most of our loves, pushed to the extreme, Jesus says, Here's what it's going to act like, and here's how it's going to behave. So let's refresh our memory. Verse 27 through 31 again, he says, I tell you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn the other. If they take your coat, give them your shirt. Give to anyone who asks you, and if someone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Most people, and maybe some of you, reading that, think that's nuts. I'll tell you that's a joke. That I'm never going to live that way. That's how you get treated as a doormat. That's how you get walked on. That's how you get abused in this world. Let's just recognize what Jesus is saying then, because we know that's the gut reaction of most people to this. So let's step back and see what Jesus is saying. What does he mean? First of all, what Jesus does here is he's kicking away all the lines that you and I put up. You know what I mean by that, right? We have these lines that, you know, we don't want people to cross. And so some of those lines are like up, you know, if they pass the close line, then it's like a war. But, you know, we've got lines that go from miles away sometimes from our heart. Just like we've got lines where if someone doesn't smile at you, you know, walking by on the street or in the office or at school, you're like, whoa, hey, what's up with that person? And that triggers a line and like warning, like, okay, I got to watch out for this person. Letting you know, okay, I should be careful about how much love to give them, how much to expose myself to them. We all do this. We all have it. Animals have it. I remember I had a dog growing up who had very clear and defined lines around when he ate. So we'd give him his food. And then if you got within 10 feet of him while he was eating, you'd get the look of, do I have to kill you? He'd look at you that way. And then if you took another step or two, you'd get the low growl under his breath, letting you know that, hey, dude, you're choosing death right now. And then if you took another step, he'd get the snarl going. Like, you know, they can curl that. It's like one of the scariest things you'll ever see in nature is a dog curling up their lips, exposing their teeth. So he'd be doing that while eating and while looking at you and growling at the same time. So the food's just like going everywhere. And then if you kept walking, eventually, he attacked. He bit every one of us, me and my siblings, at least once because we got too close while he was eating. We crossed his lines. And all of us have those lines. Lines where we either attack or we say, you know what, I'm done with this person. And our love ends toward them. And what Jesus stands here and says is, there is no line. There are no lines. And Jesus actually, if we pay a close attention, you'll see Jesus is walking through a progression of behaviors when he describes how people might treat you. Each line gets a little closer to your heart until you get to a point where you would say enough. So he starts with when someone hates you, that feeling of hatred in their hearts. They're maybe not doing anything to you, but you know that they don't like me. They're not seeking your good. They're not doing anything for you. They kind of wish you didn't exist. But it's an in-the-heart thing, and that's where Jesus starts. When someone hates you, here's how unshakable love will respond. Then he goes to when they curse you, which now what is happening? The feeling in their hearts is now coming out of their mouths, right? Now it's taking expression. They're saying bad things about you and to you. And unshakable love is going to respond to that in a certain way. And then comes after the hate, which spills out as cursing with the mouth, comes mistreatment. Now they behave in ways to hurt you, to block you from having good happen to you, to cause harm to you. It's this progression Jesus is showing us. And he's saying when someone hates you, or even worse, when they curse you, or even worse, when they abuse you and mistreat you, he says this is how unshakable love is going to respond. It's not going to even observe lines like that. Those lines are meaningless to it. Unshakable love won't be changed even as they cross all the lines. And then he gives us a picture of what this does. Again, not how it feels. He doesn't say, no, you need to feel love for them. Like if I were to tell you, okay, right now, everybody, I want you to feel happiness, go. That doesn't work, right? Feel sad, go. Feel love. You can't command feeling. Jesus isn't trying to, because he's talking about a love that actually transcends the feelings and emotions. Again, not because they're not important, but because even those things, which are often beyond our control, they don't have to turn around and control us. And this kind of love that he's talking about, we can have a love that transcends them. And so this is what he's presenting to you and me. When someone has this unshakable love and they're treated unfairly, they'll respond by turning around and treating the person who treated them unfairly, unfairly as well. So here's what Jesus is saying to you. When someone treats you unfairly, treat them unfairly right back. If someone unfairly hates you, treat them with unfair goodness. If someone unfairly curses you, treat them with unfair blessing. If someone unfairly mistreats you, treat them with unfair generosity and prayer for them. That's what Jesus is telling you and I. And then he gives a set of examples that would have been very real for them, which may or may not connect to you and I, but I think if we look at them, we can maybe connect them to our lives. The first one is getting smacked in the face. And you and I, like, when's the last time someone slapped you in the face? Like, I'm remembering bad Christmases where I was being a jerk and my dad had to put me in line and gave me a little psh. When's the last time you got smacked in the face? That doesn't happen too often. And a lot of you have been around church, you know that being smacked in the face is what he's talking about is an insult. It's not, you know, the attack. It's this backhanded thing. It's probably even more than that. It's probably something that would happen if you were being rejected from the synagogue. One of the things they would do is this would be a sign of rejection. Remember Jesus being smacked in the face when he was on trial before the Sanhedrin? So it's this behavior where you're being rejected, not just insulted, that's part of it, but told, go away, you're not part of this community anymore. And again, for you and I, this is a little different, but for them, the synagogue was the center of life in their town. It's like being told, not just you're cut off from the church, you're cut off from the whole community of this town. So we reject you. And that was going to happen to people who followed Jesus. That was absolutely going to happen. They were absolutely going to face that kind of rejection. And then the whole cloak thing, if someone takes your cloak, well, that outer cloak, that outer garment was one of the most important possessions you had in their days. Remember, they didn't have all the stuff you and I have. They didn't have the five winter coats that a lot of us have, right? They had the one cloak, and that cloak in the cold seasons, that was what kept you warm and alive at night. And in the hot seasons, it was your pillow. You lived with that thing. And so for someone to take that would be like this attack on your very ability to live. Again, it's this part of this being cut off. There's another aspect, though, in Scripture that comes up oftentimes when someone is either being disinherited or inherited, and it has to do with that outer cloak. Remember Joseph and that special coat he got from his dad? Part of what made that so irksome to his brothers was it was like a sign of you're more inherited than your brothers. Right? We see it with Adam and Eve when they fail, and God gives them, clothes them with animal skins after they failed. It's God saying, yes, you're kicked out of the garden, but you're still my children. So there's, again, a part of this. There seems to be a strong undercurrent here of this kind of insult and rejection that's going on. And what Jesus is talking about, he's saying that unshakable love responds to that kind of treatment, not by saying, well, fine, I don't need you anyway, but actually leans in and continues to love and do what love does, even when that means exposing itself to further rejection. So, yes, you've rejected me by smacking me in the cheek. I'm going to keep leaning in and demonstrating love to you, giving love to you by turning the other one. I'm going to choose to expose myself to more, because I'm not going to let you deter my love for you. That's this kind of unshakable love. You may say, I don't belong with you anymore. You may kick me out and disinherit me and take, you know, things that I really need. But I'm going to choose to lean in. You take my cloak. I'm going to take off my shirt. I'm going to expose myself all the more willingly as a demonstration of love. That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about. This one unshakable love does. It's not deterred by rejection. It leans in, it risks exposing itself to more rejection in order to continue to act lovingly. And then they lived in a world. The second two things he says, if someone asks for something from you, just give it to them. Don't be like, oh man, this is my last Coke. Just give it to them, right? And he said, if someone takes from you, don't go crazy trying to get it back. Now they lived in a world that was occupied by another nation, Rome, And so Roman soldiers could walk by anytime and say, give me that, it's mine now. They could take from you, and you could go nuts trying to get back from them. Because look, you know, I don't even let my kids take food off my plate. How many of you, how do you react when someone takes food off your plate? Are you stingy or are you generous? How do you respond when someone just borrows something of yours? Are you like incessantly nervous? Like, are you done? Are you finished? Can I have it back now? How do you behave? What kind of love do you have? Unshakable love, though, responds to this kind of unfair treatment where someone's imposing on you. It responds to that unfair treatment with unfair generosity. It doesn't get shook when people try to take advantage. It's not even shaken by being mistreated. Unshakable love is more powerful than hatred, than cursing, and than mistreatment of any kind. Now, every time we talk about this, anytime I talk with people about this, one of the things that comes up right away, because usually when we have a conversation like this that makes us uncomfortable or we're confronted by this kind of a love Jesus is talking about, it's uncomfortable because it feels impossible and weird and just not reasonable. It doesn't make sense because we know the world doesn't work this way. It feels like it opens us up to just be abused and hurt and to become a doormat. And so what we automatically run to sometimes in order to like maybe hide a little bit is we run to the extreme and say, well, you're not saying that if someone's in an abusive relationship, they should stay in that relationship. And no, of course, that's not what we're saying. That would not be right. That would not be healthy. Often what happens is you choose to stay in that relationship not as an act of love for the other person, but as because you're afraid of what's outside of it. There's all kinds of things going on there. And what happens is you begin to build up more hatred and more resentment toward that person because you're staying in that relationship instead of what would often be the most loving thing to do would be to, and the wisest thing to do would be to escape that relationship. But that doesn't, you don't have to hate them to escape. You don't have to hate them to walk away from that abuse or that mistreatment. And it could be the far extreme examples of someone physically abusing you or emotionally abusing you, or it could just be someone who's just manipulative and always taking advantage of you. And you can walk away from that without having to hate them in order to build up the courage. You know how sometimes you and I, we wait and we have to build up enough hate before we sever something? Enough anger? We have to hit that last straw, but here's Jesus saying there are no straws. But sometimes the most loving thing you and I can do is, and the wise thing to do is you separate yourself from that kind of relationship so that you can now still treat them with goodness, seek their blessing, and pray for them and be generous toward them. But you don't have to be beaten and abused. You don't have to call that good. Jesus is not saying that this kind of love calls hatred and abuse, mistreatment and cursing good. No, it's bad. It's wrong, but I don't have to hate the person who does that to me. I can actually have a love that continues and endures even when someone treats me that way. But look, if anybody's in that position of being in a situation where you're being abused and hurt and manipulated, one, first of all, come talk to me. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. And if you don't want to come talk to me, and let's get you help and get out of that. Get out of that. And let's learn how to, even getting out of those relationships, still take a position of love toward that person. Because if you let other people's behaviors reduce you to hatred and bitterness, it actually shrinks you. And what Jesus is calling us to is not a shrunken, wobbly, shaky life, but a life that is expansive and capable of a love that can't be shaken, a love that's more powerful even than hate and cursing and mistreatment. That's what he's calling us to. But then let's take it back to reality. Most of us aren't in that situation. Most of us aren't in that place. So we need to hear what Jesus is saying about what unshakable love does. So moving away from that, let's go to Jesus' summary in verse 31. And let Jesus' call to unshakable love confront us. He says, the summary, most of you know it is the golden rule. He says, do to others what you would have them do to you. Not do to others according to what they've done to you. No, that just means you're now a slave to however they treat you. That's this sadistic dance of love that our world lives in. No. Do to others according to what you would have them do to you. And he's not saying, don't do anything to other people that you don't want them to do to you. That's a negative way of looking at it, and that just would have us all passively trying to avoid each other. Because I just don't want to do anything to somebody that, you know, I wouldn't want them to do to me. No, this is an active love that seeks to do for others the kinds of things that I would like done for me, this goodness, this blessing, this generosity, this intercessory prayer, to arrive at this place where you and I can have an unshakable love that responds to unfair hatred with unfair goodness, that responds to unfair cursing with unfair blessing, and that responds to unfair mistreatment with unfair generosity and prayer. Why is that person that way? I'm not going to allow them to hurt me and abuse me. I'm going to step out of that, and I'm going to continue to love them, and I'm going to pray, God, why? Why are they that way? Which one of those do you struggle with the most? Doing good to people who hate you, blessing those who curse you, praying for people who mistreat you, and being generous? I know for me sometimes, you know, I would think praying for somebody is easy. I don't have to deal with them. I'll just go pray for them. And then what I'll find is while I'm praying, my prayers feel weird. They don't feel right. Because while I'm praying for them and acting out like I'm pretending like, yeah, I'm just praying for them, I still feel the bitterness inside of me. And it makes my prayers distasteful even to me, because I realize in that moment, this unbreakable, unshakable love is really hard. And then if I'm honest, and if you're honest, what you and I will start to realize is, I have a hard time doing good and blessing and being generous and interceding for the people I like, the people who are close to me. I struggle with this sometimes. So, boy, do I have a hard time doing it with people outside. Is your love of such an unshakable quality that it can endure being exposed to rejection and mistreatment? Can you pray for the deep needs of a person who has hurt you? You know, years and years ago, I had a boss who once, they blocked me from getting a raise and said bad things about me behind my back. And I found out about it later on, but years and years ago. And I still think of it to this day sometimes. It'll still pop up in my mind. And do you know what I feel when I think of it? I feel angry. I feel annoyed. I feel bothered by that. Like, how could that person do that? Why would they do that? Why would they say that? Why? Like, it'll bother you. And it still does. And so I recognize, and I hope you do, that we've all got those types of things that have happened. And in that moment, it's very easy for you and for me to just say, okay, I'll love them and mean I'm going to forget about it and not deal with it. But what Jesus calls us to do, this unshakable love, doesn't just, forget about it, I'll walk away from that. He calls us to lean in, potentially exposing ourselves to more rejection, and do what love does, even to that person. My feelings may not be there right away, but maybe God will change my feelings too along the way. But regardless of those, my love doesn't have to be dictated by them. I can lean in and love with this kind of unshakable love. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. Anyone who follows Jesus, Jesus says, if you're going to follow him and build your life on him, one of the things he calls us to do is love with this kind of unshakable love. And that puts you and I in a position of saying, okay, now I got to deal with this because that's really, really hard. And I'm not sure why I should do this or would do this. It just seems to expose us to all kinds of trouble. And I definitely don't know how to do it. And will it even really work? Because I don't know if this is really going to work or I'm just going to end up a doormat. And to all of our questions about this, Jesus responds in the second part with a question and with a reward and with action. I just want to look at those real quick. As we wrap up here. Here's to all of our questions about this. Jesus responds with his own question for you and me, and with a reward and with an action. So here's his question to you and I. Let's just read the verses again, 32 to 35. He says, if you love those who love you, what good is that? Even sinners do that. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Sinners do that. If you lend to those people and expect repayment, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So here's Jesus' question to you and me. about this and about all of our questions. Here's his question back to you and to me. Who are you trying to be like? Who are you trying to be like? It's Father's Day, and from my observation, one of the most joyful moments in a father's life is when they see their children emulating their good qualities. When they see their children recognizing their good qualities and then emulating them and being like them. Like, that is a happy moment in a father's life, to see that happening. And know, wow, they're learning from me and they're trying to be like me. You know what one of the most sad or probably difficult moments in a father's life is? To see their kids disregarding what they've said and giving up trying to follow and emulate them in their good qualities, and instead choosing to emulate all their friends. It often happens with teenagers, right? They decide, I'm not going to listen to my father, who's way older than me and is much more experienced than me and all my friends. I'm going to listen to these dopes who are the same age as me, have maybe even less experience in life than me, but, you know, I like what they say. Like, that's frustrating for a father to see their children do that. And it's not that all teenagers are dopes. It's just they haven't had the time to figure life out yet. They don't have the experiences. They don't see the future consequences to present behaviors. And so, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to all the people who are in the same boat as you, who have only the same limited experiences you have, who have very shallow knowledge and wisdom? Are you going to imitate them and try to be like them? Or are you going to try and be like your Father in heaven, who created us to be like him? And that's the question Jesus puts before you. Do you want to just be like every other lost person out there who's doing this sadistic dance and calling it love, back and forth, not knowing what's going on or what's going where, becoming narrower and narrower and more petty and more spiteful and more closed off in their loving, condemned to the sadistic dance? Or do you want to be like your Father, who loves with this unshakable love everyone, with this unshakable love? And then opens up the opportunity for you and I to become more open, more free, have a love that opens us up instead of shuts us down. Who do you want to be like? That's the first question for you and me to wrestle with. Who are you trying to be like? The reward Jesus talks about here is the next part. And again, it starts with a question. What reward? And I want you to think about this. What reward comes from hating people who hate you? What's the reward of that? What's the reward of cursing the people who curse you? Well, you know, I kind of feel better when I give it back to them. Maybe get them back even better than they got me. What's the reward of that? What's the reward of mistreating and abusing people who maybe mistreated you? Ultimately, what's the reward? Where does it take us in the end? Does it make us more loving, open people? Or does it actually, once again, like we've said every week, narrow us down more and more and more so that we're less and less able to love, more restricted in our abilities to love, and we become a nub because we're always guarded, always worried, always trying to protect ourselves, always having our love and our behaviors dictated by the actions of others? What's the reward of this sadistic dance our world calls love? Versus what's the reward of loving with this unshakable love Jesus is talking about? The reward for following Jesus and loving the way he loves is this broadened, opening, expanding capacity to love. It's not, and again, some people, we get this confused all the time. It's not that someday Jesus is going to come and rescue you up out of this world and get you away from all these other nasty people who are so mean to you. That's not the picture. It's not that he's going to show up and say, oh, good girl, you were loving. Here, have a gold house. Right? Sometimes that's the way people think it's about. If you were good enough and you tried hard enough to be loving, Jesus is going to come and give you a gold house or whatever. That's not the gospel. That's not the full picture that Scripture gives us about what Jesus is promising. What Jesus is promising is that if you and I follow him in this and do what he does, do you know what we'll get? Him. Relationship with him. The reward of practicing unshakable love is love. The reward is the relationship. It's not some outside thing. I had a professor who talked about this with his little girl. He was trying to get her to learn piano lessons, and I know I've shared this before, I'm sure. Trying to get her to learn piano, and he gave her a quarter every half hour she practiced. This is back in like the 50s. And gave her a quarter every time she practiced. I had a friend, I was talking to about this the other day, and he said, yeah, when he was a kid, his grandfather would come in and he'd put a stack of quarters on the piano. And every time he played a piece right, his grandfather would take a quarter and put it on the other side and say, okay, you get that quarter. And if he played it again right, he'd get another quarter. And if he made one mistake, the quarter would go back. Or he'd end up with negative quarters. And sometimes that's the picture we have. Like, oh, if I'm good enough, then I'll get this reward. But the reward is the quarters. And that turns us into mercenaries. We're just trying to be good to get something we want. That's not at all the picture of Scripture. The picture of Scripture is this. Love with this unshakable love, and guess what the reward is? You become like your Father. You get a deeper relationship with our Father God. The reward of love is love. And that's the best reward you could have. The reward of learning to play the piano is being able to make beautiful music in this world. The reward of learning to love with this unshakable love is that we become part of this orchestra, this masterpiece of love that God is weaving through this world. Because before God shakes this world with judgment, He has chosen to shake this world with love. And you and I get to be part of that if we'll embrace this unshakable love. So that was, again, the question, who are you trying to be like? The reward is the relationship. And then lastly, the action. Here's what God did. When we were unfair to God, God was unfair to us. We treated Him unfairly. We withheld from Him the love He deserves, the allegiance, the obedience He deserves, because He is God, our Creator. We made ourselves the center of the universe. He's the center of all things. We treated Him unfairly. And so what did He do? He treated us with unfair grace. Jesus stood there. You know, He wasn't just delivering some abstract teaching there. He's not a philosophy professor saying, here's an image of love that we should all aspire to. Jesus was there, the living embodiment of God's love, acting out this love in front of all of us, not just talking the game, but actually walking it all the way to the cross and to the grave. It wasn't fair that Jesus suffered and died for me after I treated Him so unfairly. It wasn't fair that He paid the price for my sin. But that's how our Father has treated us. When we treated Him unfairly, He responded with an unfair grace and mercy and gift of offering of life to us that you and I can respond to and now become part of with Him. So far, if you want to understand how this works and what the end result is, because it sounds like this unshakable love, if I lived it out, would, you know, really make life harder. It would turn me into a doormat. If you really want to know what the end result is, you look at Jesus. Did Jesus become a doormat? Or did Jesus become the doorway into a new, expansive life where love is possible? The same is true for you and me. No, it won't be easy in this world. Of course it'll be difficult. There'll be times it hurts and feels bad. But our motivation is not the behaviors of others. Our motivation is what Jesus has done and continues to do for us. It is this new way He's opened up for us to live in this unshakable love with Him. If you want to build an unshakable life, you and I need unshakable love. Unshakable love is not built on what others do to you. It is built on what Jesus did for you. It does not respond to others based on their actions. It responds to others based on the actions of Jesus. So what you and I can now do, we can return unfair hate with unfair goodness, unfair cursing with unfair blessing, unfair mistreatment with unfair generosity and prayer for people. That's what unshakable love is all about. Worship team, would you start to come back? You know, Luke, who wrote this gospel that we're working through right now, also wrote the book of Acts. Actually, Luke and Acts in your Bible, they were one large book, two volumes of one large book. And Luke is the only one who records a particular thing Jesus said when he was being murdered on the cross. You all know one of the most famous things Jesus ever said while they were killing him was, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." There's an example of what this unshakable love is. Jesus didn't feel good about what was happening to him. His feelings weren't like, "Yay, I'm being killed." Not at all. We know that the agony of this had him sweating blood. But in spite of all of those feelings, Jesus still went to the cross. His love was that unshakable. And in that moment, he demonstrated it by saying, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." And if you and I needed to know that there's a link between Jesus and us, where this is possible for us, Luke gives it to us. Because in the in-between, between Luke and Acts, Jesus dies, he rises from the dead, ascends to heaven, and sends the Holy Spirit. And then one of the very first stories of the church, we get a guy named Stephen. Sharing the gospel, people don't like it. They start throwing rocks at him. When they stoned somebody during those days, it wasn't just throwing rocks. They would start throwing rocks at you, and then they would start piling rocks on you until you were crushed to death by the rocks. That's what stoning is. And while they're doing that to him, do you know what Stephen said? The very same thing Jesus said. "Father, forgive them. Don't hold this against them." Why? Because Stephen had the Holy Spirit in him. It was said, leading up to that moment, as he's talking to them, the people who became enemies to him, who mistreated him and abused him to death, they noticed on him a glow. They noticed in him the power and presence of God, and they still went ahead and killed him. But the link for you and I am not telling you today to go out and try harder to be more loving. You cannot do it. It would be the biggest failure. I'd be setting you up because I know I can't do it and you can't do it. We just can't. We're still so broken, but we're not on our own to do this. Jesus has made it possible for you and for me to be full of the Holy Spirit, God's power and presence in our lives, enabling you and I to do this, which seems so impossible. But as you and I seek him and say, "Father, please make me like you. Please fill me with your Spirit," what begins to happen, sometimes quickly, sometimes you'll be amazed how a situation will happen and you're like, "Whoa, where did that lovingness come out of me?" But usually slowly and slowly, it builds in your life until you realize you're reacting differently. Your love isn't being dictated by what other people do. It's now being dictated by the power and presence of Jesus in you through his Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I want you to pray and ask Jesus with me, "Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can have this unshakable love and practice it and do it in this world." And some of you, you've been hiding behind some kind of hatred for somebody and justifying it. And this morning, Jesus is calling you to let that go. And he wants to talk to you about, here's what unshakable love would do in this situation. And as for a moment, we're going to pray, and I want you to ask him, "Okay, show me, what do I need to do?" Others of you, my prayer for you is that you won't keep going to bed at night, lying there agonizing and hashing out in your head arguments over and over again against the people who've hurt you or done something to you. Some of you know what that's like, and you go through that. You carry those bitternesses. My prayer for you is that you'd be set free from those and instead filled with this unshakable love.